T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Hamul Casino, San Diego's closest casino. Real close, real friendly, real fun.
Hey, it's Coach John Quintero. Thanks for downloading and listening to The John Quintero Show. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen and favorite us on the Odyssey app. You can always listen live weekdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
It's showtime.
San Diego.
Hitting the airwaves live in America's finest city.
It's the John Quintero Show.
Doctor!
San Diego's only sports show with two born and raised San Diegans.
Let's face it, we're the most interactive talk show in Southern California.
Longtime coach and San Diego sports radio legend, John Quintero.
When the roster came out, they're bench. They don't have veterans on the bench right now. You got to have some veterans coming off that bench.
And his young, up-and-coming co-host, Braden Soprenes.
I mean, it was on me to bring a date, and I did it. So that's on me, but I still had a good time, Coach.
Why is he always calling me?
Here is the coach, John Quintero.
Let's play the ball! Yeah!
Live and local on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Well, hour number two of the program. I am a fired up camper today. Man, I don't mind staying up late when my ball club wins. Last night was a tough one, man. Padres had ample opportunity. Dodgers had ample opportunity. Neither team doing a good job hitting with runners in scoring position. So far in the two games, Dodgers are 2-for-26 with runners in scoring position, and the Padres 2-for-17. Dodgers have had base runners on, it seems like, every inning, each of the first couple of ball games, but not able to get them in. But they win it last night, 1-0 over the Padres in 10. Two hell of ball games. I mean, a 4-3, 10-inning victory by the Padres the other night. Last night, the Dodgers get the better of them, 1-0. Dodgers set their team record with 107. They're 107-48 right now. Padres sitting at 86-69. Padres still sitting in great shape, folks. I mean, they're sitting in great shape to make the wild card. Their magic number with the loss stays at 4. Padres right now, a 2.5-game lead over Philly, a 3-game lead, plus the tiebreaker over Milwaukee. Everything's going to be fine. No reason to panic yet. But, man, you got to swing the bat. Our phone number, love to hear from you today, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Coming up a little bit later this hour, we're going to have Coach's Corner. And we're going to bring up a topic today for a lot of you moms and dads out there. Your kids are playing flag football. We got something on that for the ladies today regarding flag football. And I don't know if it's going to come to San Diego. They're talking about bringing it into Orange County. But we'll share that with you a little bit later on. I think it's really cool because I know my one granddaughter is playing flag football right now. She'll play volleyball in high school. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what goes on here in San Diego. We got this story coming down at about 11:50 today, so stay with us on it. Okay, back to the phones we go. Jorge and Scripps Ranch, you kick off hour number two with Coach John Quintero. Jorge, how are you? Ah, we lost Jorge. I think that might have been Jorge Alfaro. He wanted to call the show today and say, hey, why do you think Bob Melvin didn't pinch hit Jorge Alfaro last night? Taylor in Solana Beach, welcome to the John Quintero Show. How are you?
Hey, Coach. How's it going?
Going well, Taylor. How you doing today?
Doing pretty good. Just good. Wanted to wish Tim Flannery a happy birthday. He seems like a great guy.
Yeah, he is.
And I, And I did want to talk about Luis Camposano. And personally, I'd love to see him get more opportunities. Ever since he's gotten called up, he's 10 for 25. He's in 400. He's raised his OPS to 713, and he has three multi-hit games in his last three starts. And look, I know he's not the best defensive catcher. I think a lot of us can see that. But at the same time, in a time where a lot of our guys in our lineup aren't necessarily swinging the bat too well, he's one of the guys that is. And even since he's gotten called up, you know, Musgrove has talked about how he's really improved and how he's asking a lot of questions. And, you know, I know I don't want him to start every day because, you know, Nola's playing really well, but I just kind of wanted to get your take on that.
Well, first of all, I will tell you, and I'll be honest, I haven't been the biggest Luis Camposano fan. He's been up here before, hasn't swung the bat well, gone down to AAA and done a good job swinging the bat. I will say this. I do think he has gotten better behind the plate. I think his work habits have gotten better. I can tell you from talking to people inside and outside the organization, his work habits have left something to be desired from time to time, and how hard he was working down there in AAA. I don't know if he got kind of the bad attitude because he wasn't up with the big ball club, but I will tell you this time I've seen a different cat up here, and those numbers you mentioned offensively are great, but I think it really comes down to defense. And I got to be honest with you, I know he doesn't throw out many guys, but I think Austin Nola's done a pretty good job, and not only that, he's swinging the bat much better right now. So, you know, I think they're going to ride him. They're going to have to give him a day here and there. And, you know, Alfaro, for whatever reason, has kind of fallen out of favor. He's not getting hardly any playing time at all.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see how that kind of pans out in the offseason.
Yeah, well, I think they're going to have to really look at behind the plate. You know, the good thing for Nola, this is the first time in his Padre career where he's been, you know, been able to stay healthy for an extended period of time. And I think now, you know, when he's been able to do that, now we're starting to see the player that they traded for a few years ago from Seattle.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. Thanks for taking my call, Coach. Hope you have a great rest of your day.
All right, Taylor, I appreciate you calling me from my hometown. Joe in Mission Valley, you're next up with Coach John Cantera on a big Thursday. What's going on, Joe? I think Joe may be sleeping at the switch. Let's get out to Joe in San Diego. Joe, next up on 97.3 The Fan. Good morning. How are you? Oh, the two Joes lost them. Well, I know this guy will be waiting for me. Let's go up to Leucadia. Lou, welcome to 97.3 The Fan. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, Coach. I'm turning my house upside down trying to find some unused Xanax. The only way I'm not going to get out of this funk, I'm taking my very, very good friend of three decades, best manager trainee I ever trained. He, a lifelong Dodger fan. So I'll be there in my Lake Elsinore Storm and Chihuahua's hat. And I just hope you Darvish is there. But one thing I wanted to ask you was, you know, you're not doing your team any favor by taking over 20 pitches and certainly not 35 pitches per inning. Is it just a matter of, you know, I see all these pitchers, they get ahead of the guy 0-2 and then they start nibbling. Do they just not trust their stuff? I mean, for God's sakes, you got two strikes on the guy.
I think they have a tendency to nibble. And, you know, you got to be able to nibble within the strike zone. I mean, I understand if you're 0-2, 1-2, you may want to miss a little bit off the corner. But, I mean, you go 2-2, man, you got to go at these guys. You don't want to go 3-2 and have a bunch of 3-2 counts because you talk about running the pitch count up. That happens all the time with our Padres staff, it seems like.
Yeah, I don't understand it. And I just think it's a confidence thing. You know, if you're aggressive, you know, you're just going to go after him. I mean, look at Urias. I mean, he had way less pitches than Musgrove. But, you know, I'm just hoping we could take that rubber game tonight so I could throw it in the face of my friend. And I really want to – I hope you Darvish pitches. Anyway, enjoy the game, Coach.
All righty, I appreciate that, Lou. You have a great time down there, and look forward to hearing from you again. Always fun to talk with Lou and Leucadia. That opens up a line at 833-288-0973. Mitch in New Jersey, Welcome to the John Contreras Show. How are you today?
Doing well. Doing pretty good, John. Hi. How's it going with you?
I'm doing very well. Hopefully my Padres can get the rubber game tonight against those dreaded Dodgers.
Bring the bats. When you go up to play, make sure that they bring the bats to the plate. I mean, that's step number one.
It's going to be an interesting game because I think Manaea is probably going to get the start. I'm trying to find out. I know one website had Manaea. I think Manaea may be going against the Dodgers tonight. And the Dodgers, I think, are going to make it kind of a pseudo bullpen game tonight.
Oh, I hate that. You know, get somebody to throw in some innings. They're actually hurting quite a bit with this, especially with the starting pitchers. I mean, you can almost have a starting rotation with all the pitchers that are on the injury list. But the offense is sort of all across Major League. Finally, I think we'll pitch around him, Aaron Judge, and you know, I hope he gets the record soon. Maybe do it in front of home crowd. But they're not pitching around Soto, you see there, and his batting average. I think he's hit less home runs than my boy Gallo, Joey Gallo, since both got traded to the West Coast.
Yeah, Gallo really looked kind of bad last night. He's hitting well under 180 right now in a Dodger uniform. I don't know what they're going to do with him. I know he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. I can't believe the guy can't put the ball in play more than he does. I mean, he's got good power, but I don't know. He got to go back and retool some things for me.
I don't know what's going on. I mean, he's a good outfielder. Have you seen all the catches?
He's a Gold Glove outfielder. I mean, what, he throws well, he runs well. He just can't put the ball in play a high percentage of the time.
Just like the Dodgers, Cody. He's been 205. Muncy's like 205 or so. And even Taylor. They got so many guys that are hitting below 210. You know, below almost, well, I got to watch it. I'll be 210 before I know it. But anyway.
Well, I'll tell you, you know what, Chris Taylor – it's hard to believe because he missed some time with a fractured finger. And he struck out, said last night, 157 times. He's hitting in the 220s right now. Muncy, who most of the year was hitting in the 160s and low 170s, now is over 200. But he's really been swinging the bat very, very well for the last six to 8 weeks. And Justin Turner, who they're going to rest up for a few days, taking a little bit of a nagging injury. They're going to give him a little time off. And by the way, you mentioned their pitching staff. I saw last night Dave Roberts said after the ballgame, Tony Gonsolin going to make a start on Monday. And they're going to let him pitch three innings on Monday against the Colorado Rockies and kind of see where he's at. He had the two innings a couple of nights ago for Oklahoma City, but he's going to make one start on Monday, and they're going to let him go three innings and see how he feels the following day. Hey, Mitch, good to hear from you, buddy. Have a great day.
Thanks, yeah, enjoy the games.
I certainly will.
I go see it in a newspaper.
Yeah, no, I know. Well, it didn't make our newspaper today. It was too late last night. Gratterall is starting. One website's got Manaea. The Padres have not made an official determination on who's pitching tonight, so we'll pass that along as soon as we find out. Let's get out to Clay in the South Bay. Clay, welcome to the John Contreras Show. How are you today?
Hey, I'm fine, John. Like you last night, I felt like I probably should have put in my mouth splint just to watch the damn game. But the thing that really bothers me, and I'm kind of ticked off today myself, and you know me, John, I'm a positive guy, always been positive on my Padres, but I'm going to tell you this. You're not going to score the guy from third base if you don't put the damn ball in play. You know, swing the damn bat, foul it off, do what you got to do, make their defense beat our offense. I'm ticked.
Yeah, you ought to be. I mean, you ought to be. I mean, Will Myers has done a really good job. You know, first pitch, pops it up. Next guy, Cronenworth, he makes an out. You're out of the inning. You did the Dodgers a favor.
But I was just ticked, especially, you know, you got your guy on third base, bottom of the 10th. All you got to do is put the ball in play. Make them do something with it. I mean, come on, even if you throw the guy out at home, at least the bat isn't sitting on your damn shoulder waiting for you to get a pitch that you really, really want.
Yeah, you know, poor Grisham, man. He looks like a man lost at the plate right now. And that is not a fun feeling when you're a ball player at any level, when you're not hitting. I mean, everything is just a struggle for him offensively right now. And it's really unfortunate because he has some really, really good tools. But, man, mechanically – is one thing, but mentally he's really beaten up right now. He's going up there hoping to hit the ball, not walking in and getting into that batter's box knowing he can hit the ball.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I feel for the guy, but you're getting paid a hell of a lot of money to put the ball in play. And if you're not going to step up there with the right mindset, then why don't you just tell your coach, dude, I'm not in it right now. Why don't you let somebody else go up and hit the damn ball?
Well, you know what? Players aren't going to say that. Managers got to feel that. But Bob Melvin decided to let Grisham hit rather than Jorge Alfaro, another guy that strikes out a high percentage of the time, but a guy that also has four walk-off base hits. And he had the walk-off walk the other night, but he's not getting any playing time. I would have thought that Bob Melvin, somewhere along the line in that inning, would have tried to get Alfaro an at-bat. But, you know, he decided to go with Josh Bell leading off, pinch hitting for Nola, and then he stayed with Grisham. And, you know, you can talk about, well, what would that have done if they'd have gone to the 11th inning? Well, you know what? You got to get to the 11th inning, and then you figure it out.
Well, that's exactly what I was thinking. But you know what? I'm still with my team, still got my fan wagon. I'm still
fine.
Padre fan all the way, John. But
hey,
all I can say
fine.
Is...
Hey, Clay, they're going to be fine. I mean, last night, there were positives. I mean, there were positives from our pitching staff. Our Padre pitching staff did a hell of a job last night. And, you know, the hitters...
Oh.
It kind of is what it is. I mean, this is our team right now. I don't think we're going to become the Pittsburgh Pirates of Willie Stargell, Dave Parker, and Al Oliver between last night and tonight. But you know what? This is what we got. We got to figure out how to manufacture a run here and there against top-notch pitching.
Well, I also think that Bob Melvin isn't just playing one game at a time. I'm pretty sure he's also thinking on what he's got if, when he gets to the postseason and who's going to be his bench and who's going to be his starters.
Well, I think he has a pretty good idea of that right now. Hey, Clay, you have a great day, my friend. Always good to hear from you.
You too, John. Too bad we're not with the magic number of 3 or 2, but you know what? It's still a magic number of 4, and we'll get there. It's just mind-numbing sometimes watching it.
Yeah, no, I hear you, man. It was tough last night. Well, we're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we're going to get back to your phone calls, and I see a former Major League player on hold to visit with me. He's called me before. We'll tell you who that is when we return to the John Katera Show right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, little Stevie Nicks on a Thursday. Kurt's got a new album out. I got to check that out. I just heard that over the weekend, so I'm going to have to check that out. Hey, by the way, losing a week in fantasy football means you're going to hear some smack talk from your friends. Check out the Reception Perception podcast for insights on which wide receivers to start this week to rack up a big fantasy win. I'm 2-1. I'm feeling pretty good right now. Whether you're in a PPR league or not, wideouts are a huge part of whether you win or lose. Matt and James have unique analysis to predict who's going to be a boom and who's going to be a bust. New episodes every Tuesday and Thursday. Follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. I mentioned going to break. We've got a gentleman who's called the program before. Remember him very well. He wore number 28 in his Dodger uniform, and he had a marvelous career. He was a switch hitter, played primarily first base. Could play the outfield a little bit, but really, I think we all remember him as a first baseman. Wes Parker, former L.A. Dodger, joining us on 97.3 The Fan. Wes, good to hear from you. How are you?
Hey, Coach, I wanted to call you again. I heard you. I was in my car talking about the Dodgers and Padres, and it just brings back so many memories. I wanted to call you and tell you that I have become a Padres fan largely because of you and because the station comes booming up here into L.A. on certain days, usually near the ocean. And just from listening to the games and the wonderful job all you guys do, especially the pre- and post-game show, I've just become a Dodger fan. I mean, a Giants fan, a Padres fan. I love their uniforms. Their fans are outstanding, and I love their grit. They just try so doggone hard, and it's like David slaying Goliath. It's very, very hard to beat a Dodger organization when they have unlimited amounts of money to spend on players. It just makes it extremely difficult.
Well, Wes, first of all, I appreciate you calling. I remember our first chat, before spring training, and I'm glad you called back. We're sitting here, we're talking about hitting philosophy. And, you know, the Dodgers, they've got a lineup where their guys, they do a great job of working the count, fouling pitchers off. They have what we used to talk about, a two-strike approach. And then we look at the Padres. They've got some good hitters, but they may be a little bit too passive in there, and they don't necessarily have guys with a lot of two-strike approaches. I mean, when you were playing, and I realize things have changed and you throw in the analytics, but what was it like being a major league hitter back in the 60s and 70s when you were playing? I mean, what was the philosophy hitting?
Well, I think each of us had a little bit different philosophy, but you've got to remember in the 60s there were, I think it was 15 Hall of Fame pitchers pitching in the 1960s. Three of them pitched for us, Drysdale, Koufax, and Sutton. But then you had Steve Carlton and Jim Bunning and Fergie Jenkins and Nolan Ryan and Tom Seaver and a whole bunch of others. So my particular philosophy was to swing at the first good pitch I saw, because when those guys got you down 0-2, you were back basically dead meat. It was just too difficult to deal with them when they were, I heard you talking about nibbling at the plate, but they would nibble so close, you couldn't afford to take it and be called out on a strike. We had good umpires, but you never knew which one was going to call a strike on a ball 1 inch outside. So you almost had to swing at it.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. Hey, one thing I do want to ask you, I mean, you were a teammate of Maury Wills. And Maury Wills passed away last week. And can you just talk about Maury as a player and as a teammate?
Oh, God, John, he was so valuable. I love the guy. I lockered next to him. The Dodgers lockered by number, and he was 30. I was number 28, so we had lockers next to each other our entire careers, except for the 3 years he was with Pittsburgh. And we hit 1 and 2 in the batting order for a while, so I got really, really close to him, and he would tell me what he wanted me to do to help him steal a base. At first, he said, I want you to fake a bunt. You have to block the catcher's view of the pitch. But that started bringing the catchers out of their crouch really quickly, and then he changed his mind and said, no, don't do that, because the catchers are jumping out too quickly and starting to get a bead on me. So then he wanted me to just stand deeper in the batter's box and prevent the catcher from getting too quick a start on his throw. And then he taught me about the delayed steal, which he used to tremendous effect and fooled many, many catchers and pitchers. And as a hitter, he was very smart. He ran the bases as well as anybody I've ever seen. I mean anybody, including Willie Mays, who was probably the second best base runner I ever saw. But Maury was really, really smart about leads. Also, he taught me about leads, how to take a one-way lead, where you're getting as far off the bag as you can, knowing you're going to go back to first no matter what the pitcher does, even if he throws the ball to home plate. And then you have a two-way lead or something else. But he had leads that were designed specifically to see the pitcher's best move to first. He wanted to see their absolute best move. And once he saw that, he knew exactly how far he could get off of first base and have a better chance of stealing. But he was a better person than he was a ball player. And in my opinion, he's borderline Hall of Fame. Maybe he should be in, maybe he shouldn't. You could probably argue both ways. But I think since Pee Wee Reese got in, and he was the captain of the Brooklyn Dodgers, I think Maury's stats are comparable to Pee Wee's, and he was just as important to us as Pee-wee was to those great Brooklyn teams.
And we're visiting with Wes Parker, former longtime Dodger, now listening to our station, listening to Padre games, and likes what he's hearing. Maury Wills didn't get to the big leagues till he was 28 years old. I mean, he spent a lot of years in the minor leagues before he got his first opportunity, didn't he?
He battled so hard, you know, for a little guy. What was he, 175, maybe 5'10"? And he would talk to me all the time about how sliding just beat up his legs. After a while, he had to slide head first to protect his legs, and how second baseman would crouch by the bag to block him off from it when he went head first, and how catchers with all their gear on would be waiting for him when he slid into home plate. They throw their mask right where they knew he had to slide. So he either had to slide on the mask or slide around the mask, which he didn't want to do. He just had such a heart, and he was very sensitive, incredibly sensitive human being. He saw things in people, and he realized things in his opponents that most of us overlooked. He was very insightful, very, very knowledgeable, and very strategic in almost everything that he did. And he was really good with people. After he passed away, the LA Times implied in their article that some guys on the team didn't like him. That was not true. The guys that purportedly didn't like him were the ones who he pushed hard to be better. And we were all in favor of that. And even they were, after they yelled at him a little bit, like, hey, don't get on me. They had to admit themselves that Maury made them a better ball player.
That's a great statement. Wes, you mentioned about the Padres and you like the way they go about their business. What about the Dodgers? I mean, the Dodgers, they've won 107 games, and I think about all the great teams in Brooklyn, all the great teams in L.A. They've never won 107 games like this ball club. Give me your thoughts on Dave Roberts' squad right now.
Okay, I still think the Brooklyn Dodgers of 52 to 56 were better than this current team. I think they're probably better than we were in 65 when we won the World Series. But as you mentioned, I just heard you half an hour ago mention how Muncy and some of the others are hitting right around 200 or under. So it's not a complete ball club as far as hitting goes. They largely rely on Betts as their leadoff man and the first baseman they picked up from Atlanta, who's leading the league in hitting, and a few others, and that's about it. But what carries the Dodgers is their pitching. They have phenomenal pitching, better than Brooklyn in the 50s. Probably as good as ours, or very close to as good as ours when we had Drysdale, Koufax, Sutton, and Osteen, which was a terrific pitching unit. But even when we won in 65, we didn't win it with hitting. We won it with pitching. And I think that's what San Diego really needs to work on, is getting maybe one more really good frontline starting pitcher. And I would also like to see them get one more really good regular everyday ball player to fill in that lineup just a little bit better. And then I think they could compete if they didn't have any injuries. The remarkable thing about the Dodgers is that their depth is so good that they can afford to have injuries and still win.
Well, they keep bringing these guys up from Oklahoma City, and they seem to know how to play. So somebody's doing something good down on that farm.
Yeah, guys you've never heard of, and they come up, and it's like the film, you know, or a stage play when the star goes down, and here comes somebody else, like All About Eve, and they become a star themselves, and they've been sitting in the wings for a year. It's just amazing how deep their organization is. But when you have that kind of money, that's partly why they can do it, and they're run very well. But I really admire San Diego for fighting as hard as they do to keep up with them, because it's not easy. Those guys just wear you down, just like you said, and their pitching is so good. To get behind 0-2 is almost a disaster against that kind of pitching. So I think maybe the Padre hitters should be swinging at pitches that they can hit a little bit sooner if they get some to hit. But it's very, very difficult. The Dodgers are extremely good. Will they win the World Series? I don't know. There's the Yankees. There's Houston. The Padres might knock them off in the playoffs, or the Mets. I think the Mets probably have the best chance to beat them in the playoffs. But they're going to be fired up. You know, the Dodgers have, 2 weeks to kind of rest up for the playoffs, so they'll be really, really ready and have all their pitchers and their hitters rested.
Yeah, I think the playoffs are going to be fantastic. Hey, Wes, thanks for calling in today. I always enjoy our conversations.
Hey, John, I've got a quiz for you. Quick quiz.
Okay.
In 1969 or 70, the Dodgers were winning 7-2 in the bottom of the ninth, and four San Diego hitters homered to make the final score 7-6 against Don Sutton. Who were those four?
And what year was it?
69 or 70. I think 70.
Oh, well, Nate Kober probably was
one of
them.
That's right.
Cito Gaston?
Yep.
Let's see. Who could it have been? Ollie Brown?
Yes. There's only one more. Very good.
One more. Let's
Very
see.
Good.
I think Larry Stahl was gone by that time.
He was. It was Ivan Morrell.
The fourth one. Oh, Ivan the Banana Man Morrell from Panama.
Yes. Yes. And I still remember the announcer saying, now batting for the San Diego Padres, shortstop number 11, Enzo Hernandez.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Now, so you can see I am a Padres fan. You know, I root for David. It's hard to root for Goliath.
Yeah, I hear you on that. I remember as a young boy going Little League night, a Friday night, Bob Gibson was pitching against the Padres, Wes. He threw a one-hitter that night, and the only guy that had a base hit was Ivan Morrell.
Hey, I'm coming down to San Diego in 2 weeks, and you mentioned you'd like to meet face-to-face. Can we do that?
Absolutely. You know what? Let me put you on hold. Braden, I can get your number, and I'll give you a call here in the next couple of days, and we'll get something set up. That'd be a real treat for me.
Me too. Thanks, John.
All righty, Wes. Thank you so much. Hey, look him up, folks. Wes Parker, former Dodger. He had a heck of a major league career. Switch hitter, wore number 28. And he's listening to our program up in L.A. and said he's now a big Padres fan, likes the way our team goes about their business. That's high praise, not only for our ball club, but for our radio station as well. So everyone that is on this station, from Sam Levitt on pre and post to Braden and I and Ben and Woods and Scraby and Gwen and Chris and Paul Reindl, That's high praise from a man that did it for a long time at the highest level. We need a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll get back to your phone calls. And we got a very special Coach's Corner coming up as well. Coach John Katera headed to 2 o'clock right here on 97.3 The Fan. .11:41 the time, and we are going to get to Coach's Corner here at about 11:50, but and I'm getting texts from buddies of mine going, man, Wes Parker called your show. How cool is that? Well, it's real cool. You know, I'll look forward to getting together with Wes, man. And I hope you got some time, because I'll pick his brain on everything. I want to know all about what the Dodgers do so well down in the minor leagues. They've been doing it for a long period of time. That was really cool. Wes Parker called the program. Second time he's done that. Really appreciate that. Let's get back to the phones. Everyone's got an opinion on our Padre Ball Club. And by the way, looks like we're going to have a bullpen game tonight. The Padres officially have just announced that reliever right-hander Steven Wilson going to start the game tonight. So Yu Darvish not going to make the start. Sean Manaea, I got to believe, is going to pitch tonight. Got to believe he's going to pitch somewhere in this ball game. But Steven Wilson's going to start. I mean, the bullpen. The bullpen's been used quite a bit. I mean, Nick Martinez needs a night off. I mean, they can't bring Nick Martinez back tonight. I mean, they got some other guys that could pitch tonight. Craig Stammen hasn't pitched in a while. He could come in and pitch. But it's going to be an interesting game because the Dodgers are going with Bruzdar Gratterall, a relief pitcher. And then they've got Andrew Heaney, who's a starter. He's probably waiting in the wings to come in and throw a few innings, multiple innings tonight. Going to be an interesting game. Hey, again, the Dodgers have already set the all-time Dodger record for 107 wins. Padres, their magic number to get in the playoffs is 4. I mean, they need to win some ball games. I mean, they're sitting in good shape with a lead over Philadelphia and Milwaukee. But, man, you better start winning some games. Got to win a couple of ball games here and put this thing to bed and get ready for the playoffs. Teague and El Cajon, welcome to the John Katera Show. How are you today?
Hey, Coach. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, you're welcome. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, so I just wanted to call, mainly talk about the starting pitching going forward. But first off, just say that we're going to be all right. I know we got a lot of calls, and I know talk radio is boring if everyone calls in and says, oh, we're going to be fine. You know, 1-0, you know, loss in extra innings is fine. We trust Bob Melvin with everything. you know, but we got people complaining about Will Myers swinging at the first pitch and in the same breath saying that we're taking too many pitches. You know, largely I think right, the playoffs are about timely hitting. We've seen that from this team at portions, at least from certain players. We've seen Kim get hot. We've seen Krohn get hot. We've even seen Grish go through a good stretch. And largely I agree with Melvin's moves last night. When you're guaranteed a runner on second in your half of the 10th, I think you pitch to Freeman. And, you know, right, again, same thing is, like you said in the post game, the best version of this team has Grish going. So give right. him that a bat, see if he can get him hot. And, you know, a week from tomorrow, if he's still not going, yeah, maybe you don't pitch to Freeman in that situation. And, yeah, you probably aren't sending Grish up to the plate. But I think with a three-game lead and the tiebreaker cushion as well, I think we're in a good spot. My question for you, now with Steven Wilson going, was more about that. Do we want two starts from Darvish in the regular season and him not really lined up for game one or two in the wild card? Or do we want him going on Saturday with six games rest and that lines him up for 5 days rest for wild card game one? How confident do we feel that we can look ahead to wild card game one? Again, I'm in the boat of I'm pretty calm about it. I think we're good. I'm headed out to Petco tomorrow and Saturday, so hope it'd be great if we could clinch a playoff spot one of those 2 days. That'd be great. And then tonight with Steven Wilson, who follows him, probably a lefty, so maybe Morihon, maybe Manaea. I think if Weathers was coming up, we might have heard by now. So just get your thoughts on would you have got two more starts out of Darvish, or do you like him starting one more time, probably Saturday, and then ready for wild card game one? I'll take your answer off the air. Thank you, Coach.
All right, Teagan, enjoy the ball games out of Petco. If Darvish has to make two more starts, we got some big problems here, folks. I mean, Darvish needs to make one more start, and the Padres need to put this thing to bed to where he can start a week from tomorrow, whether it be in Atlanta or whether it's at Citi Field against the New York Mets going against, I would imagine, Max Scherzer. I would think they would throw Scherzer game one and DeGrom in game two and probably Chris Bassett and the entire staff in game three if it came to that. But I think if Darvish is going to start tomorrow or Saturday, that's the last start. I mean, the way it pencils out right now, if you kept him on his regular rotation, you know, he would pitch that last game on Wednesday against the Giants. That's the last thing you want. That means Snell throws game one, and not that that's the worst thing, but Darvish wouldn't be – I mean, he'd hardly be available for that last game on Sunday if it went to three games. So, you know, I don't know what the Padres thinking is on this, but they're going to go bullpen tonight. I guess they're just going to try to match the Dodgers, go bullpen. Dodgers got a deep bullpen. They got some guys that probably need a night off as well. So it'll be interesting. But, you know, we got Morihon. He can give you, a couple of innings tonight. You got Manaea. If he can go in there and keep from serving up the home run ball, he can give you, three or four innings if needed. Going to be an interesting matchup. I can tell you this. I don't want to show up here tomorrow and talk about the Padres getting drubbed 10-1 because they went to a bullpen game. Then I think the fans are going to be a little bit restless. Be interesting to see what the Dodgers are going to do. I heard they're going to go with Gratterall, and then they're going to bring in Andrew Heaney. Well, we'll have to wait and see on that. OP and Chula Vista, welcome to the John Quintero Show. How are you today?
Good, Coach. Hey, thanks for having me on. I just want to say that myself and my son Jonah are huge fans. Listen to the show as often as we can. I live in my truck quite a bit, so I get to hear your perspective and love your perspective on all things sports and stuff. I wanted to bring up the topic about launch angle, right? I know that you're a stats guy, and it's probably something you can dig in deep. But if I'm looking at this, I think we've had more pop-ups in this year than probably any Padre team we've ever had. And I think it has a lot to do with the approach of the launch angle, right? If you look at specifically Cronenworth and Myers, their swings are pretty significantly different than we've seen in the past. I know that we picked up the hitting coach from the Giants from last year to kind of head that department for this year. And I'm just, the pop-ups are more evident now than ever before. And I know it's got a lot to do with this launch angle approach. We pretty avid baseball fans and softball fans, been around the sport for many, many years. And that's got to play a role in this whole thing. And I don't know if, you're addressing it. You look at a Manny Machado, not sure if he how he addresses or approaches it hitting. You're probably not touching a superstar on his stroke all too much. But these other guys, man, it seems like all of a sudden the pop-ups are just rampant. I mean, it's incredible to me.
Well, you know, my take on that, OP, you know, I like guys to be good line drive hitters, and if you hit the ball hard enough, it's going to go out. And I think that's Manning's philosophy. You know, I was taught a long time ago by a lot of really good people that knew a lot about hitting. They told me, John, there's only two good fly balls, one that goes over the fence and the other with a runner on third and less than two outs. Those are the only two fly balls you want to hit. You want to hit line drives and you want to hit ground balls, okay? That's my thought process, okay? Certain guys have the ability. God gave them some tools that didn't give to probably 95% of the other big league players. There's 5% of guys that got what you talk about, big-time power. And they could hit pretty much any way, and they're going to be able to get the job done. But for a lot of guys, the launch angle really, I think, takes away from the type of hitter they can be. Because there are going to be a lot of guys that hit fly balls, warning track guys, their average is going to be low, their on percentage is going to be low. You've got to be the best possible hitter you can be with what God gave you. And, you know, I believe some guys it's a little bit easier, but even there, those guys have to work their tail off to, you know, put up big numbers. And, you know, I don't believe you can take a guy that's a 240 hitter and make him a 290 hitter, but I certainly think you can take a 240 hitter and make him a good solid 260 hitter with, you know, fine-tuning the guy. But I think the launch angle is really ruining a lot of players at all levels right now, more than anything else.
Yeah, if you look at Myers specifically, kind of more of a front foot guy, more of a linear approach to hitting, keeping that bat in the zone, driving the ball. Yes, he's got power to right center. But if you look at him specifically today, he's a different hitter as far as keeping that weight back, a little more rotational. I mean, it just seems like the risk-reward for this whole launch angle approach, it's not paying off, especially in a park like Petco where, you know, the balls are dying because of the marine layer. We saw it that we were at the game on Tuesday night. You'd see it plenty of times, right? So
right.
It's just a little, hopefully that's something to be love to hear. I'm sure you've got availability to the stats when it comes to the pop-ups, you know, where we look at pop-ups versus this year versus last year, the years prior.
Yeah, but the biggest thing that I look at, OP, to be honest with you, is strikeouts. Strikeouts just gnaw the hell out of me, okay? I mean,
sure. Yep.
Growing up, man, there's nothing good about a strikeout. You don't move hitter, you don't move runners up. You're not helping your ball club. Your manager's upset. Your coach is upset. You're upset. Everybody's upset on a strikeout. But you know what? I blame baseball, and I'll let you go on this note because we're going to get to Coach's Corner. But thank you, you and your son, for being avid listeners to the program and really enjoyed our chat today.
Go Padres, Coach.
You know, nothing good ever happens from a strikeout. You're not helping your ball club. And I blame baseball because they've allowed this to happen. The strikeout is okay now. The strikeout is okay now. And I just don't get that. I just don't get that. You've got 27 outs. You got 27 outs. Put pressure on the defense. A strikeout, to me, is the worst thing that can possibly happen as a hitter. But people now, hey, no big deal, man. We'll get them next time. We'll get them next time. I mean, you used to walk to the dugout being embarrassed. You couldn't get to the dugout quick enough because you struck out. I mean, a lot of these guys, they got a lot of practice, man. Guys are walking back to the dugout 150 or 200 times a year. It's like no big deal. You hit a home run next, oh, man, you're a great hitter. There's so many guys right now that couldn't hit water if they fell out of a boat with the swing they've got. All right, let's get to today's Coach's Corner.
While Coach and Braden have been keeping you updated on everything going on in San Diego,
it's actually pronounced San Diego.
There have been other big headlines throughout the country in the sports world.
Hey, don't worry. You don't have to make up stories here. Save that for court.
Time to find out what's trending in sports and get Coach Quintero's take with Coach's Corner on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Coach, we'll start with some news in California. CIF Southern Section Council, the CIF Southern Section legislative body approved the proposal that would have girls flag football beginning in the fall of 2023. Must be approved by the CIF State Council. Gets first read October 7th, up for vote February 2nd to the 3rd. So that's the Southern Section. Whether or not the other sections will also adopt girls flag football remains to be seen, but kind of cool that they'll have girls flag football as a CIF sport beginning in the fall of 2023, should it pass coming up forward, Coach.
Well, I think it's going to be rubber stamped by the Southern Section. They're very proactive. They look ahead very well. Hopefully Joe Hines and the CIF office here in San Diego will follow the lead by the Southern Section. Once they get it approved, hopefully that'll be approved here in San Diego. I know a lot of young ladies are out playing flag football right now, and they may not be a volleyball player or a soccer player or a gymnast. They may want to play flag football, so I'd like for them to have that opportunity. So I'm all for it.
Number two.
The NCAA placed Air Force's football program on probation for 2 years Thursday and issued other penalties for recruiting violations committed during COVID-19 dead periods. The NCAA said the Air Force Academy and four individuals involved in the alleged violations reached an agreement with enforcement staff about penalties. A fifth unnamed individual is fighting the allegations, and his case will be resolved through an infractions hearing. The Action Network citing sources reported in May that the Falcons were being investigated for hosting high school prospects on campus during dead periods in 2020 and providing them with improper benefits. Air Force, 2 years probation on football, Coach.
Boy, that's a shocker. I mean, Troy Calhoun's been up there. I think, he took over for Fisher DeBerry. I think he's been up there 17 years now. That's a real shocker that Air Force would get nailed by the NCAA. Wow.
Number three.
Sunday night's game between Kansas City and Tampa Bay will continue to be held at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa as originally scheduled. The NFL announced Thursday. The NFL had selected U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis as a contingency site for the game after the Bucs had evacuated the area because of Hurricane Ian. The Bucs also expressed gratitude for first responders and emergency personnel covering the storm, who are already battling the elements, saving lives, and helping our neighbors in the most impacted areas of our South. Tampa Bay quarterback Tom Brady hopes the game can help bring people together for a common good. So they're going to play that game in Tampa, Coach.
Well, I'm glad they're going to be able to play, but God bless and all the prayers out to all the folks down there in Florida. I watched the news last night, and man, just devastating. They were supposed to get hit again today with it, so hopefully they're able to recover and hope everyone gets out of there safe. All right, Brayden, good job on that. All right, we're going to get to the top of the hour. When we come back, the lunchtime hour, we'll get right back to your phone calls. Coach John Contreras going to 2 on 97.3 The Fan. Hey, it's Coach John Contreras. Thanks for downloading and listening to the John Contreras Show. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen and favorite us on the Odyssey app. You can always listen live weekdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.